superhumanradio.com lately. Lots of free supplements, great information, and older episodes of Superhuman Radio are all available. Go to superhumanradio.com today.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today we're going to cover two things. I've got Brooks Kubik on during the first hour as we begin to discuss where to begin, the first steps to health and longevity. We have a lot of new listeners, many of them women. Many of them, I would say, are uninitiated into the physical culture lifestyle. They need answers, and we're going to try to give them some cursory answers today. Second hour, we're going to talk about breast milk, the original paleo diet. I mean, think about it. Paleo babies got what first? They didn't get grass-fed beef. They didn't get legume. They got mother's milk. And we're going to talk about the benefits of mother's milk over formulas today with the scientist from Duke University, Dr. William Parker. But let's get started with Brooks Kubik. How are you doing, Brooks?
Carl, I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. Okay. This is an important discussion because we have an influx of newbies, many of them women, some of them men, and a lot of the stuff we talk about on most shows may be a little bit advanced for them. So we want to talk about where to start, kind of like 101 type of a class, with exercise and nutrition. And we want to start with exercise first. We're focusing on the women specifically. And when I told Brooks I wanted to do the show, he invoked a name that I haven't heard since I read Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, Volume 1, and that is Pudgy Stockton. Talk about Pudgy Stockton for a moment. Because if we always talk about the fathers of physical culture. She could easily be called one of the mothers of physical culture, couldn't she?
Absolutely. You know, there are a lot of people who claim to be the first female bodybuilder or the person who started women's bodybuilding or the first this or the first that. Well, Pudgy Stockton got weight training, weightlifting, physical fitness, physical culture for women off the ground way back in the 1940s. And it started out as it was one of those impossible transformation stories, one of these things that reads like a Hollywood movie, except it really happened. Pudgy Stockton was a bright, bubbly, cute as a button, but a little bit overweight, hence the nickname Pudgy, the nickname that they gave her even as a little girl. Can you imagine that, calling a little girl Pudgy? But that was her name, her nickname. And this was back in the 1930s, and either in the late 30s or early 1940s, she met a young man named Les Stockton. And Les Stockton was a gymnast, an acrobat, a weightlifter, a bodybuilder, and a regular at California's Muscle Beach. And, you know, as you probably know, Muscle Beach was literally world famous. They had bodybuilders and weightlifters and acrobats, tumblers, men and women doing just incredible physical things, and huge crowds would go out on the weekend and watch. It was really quite something. It was in Santa Monica. And Les and Pudgy hit it off. They started dating, and eventually they got married. And somewhere along the way, just because she was going to Muscle Beach and she was hanging with Les Stockton and meeting other people who were in great shape, she decided that she wanted to make a change. She decided that instead of just going to Muscle Beach and watching other people do things, she wanted to start doing things, physical things. And to do that, of course, she had to get into shape. She had to get on a training program. And so, of course, Les wrote up a basic beginner's workout for her, and he coached her through it, and she started watching her diet and eating the right kinds of foods. And, you know, basically the people at Muscle Beach were into what we would now call health foods or natural organic foods in this era. And her body made the most remarkable transformation imaginable. She went from pudgy to absolutely
gorgeous,
drop-dead killer gorgeous.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, with an incredibly tiny, tiny waist and just an absolutely magnificent body. Not heavily muscled, not bulky, but athletic and trim.
But
graceful,
very feminine. Very, very feminine.
Very feminine, very well-proportioned. You know, she looked like she'd spent years and years of dance training or something, because her physique was just absolutely remarkable. And then, and by the way, I should mention, when she was pudgy, the little pudgy girl, she worked as a telephone operator. Remember, this was back in the day when, you know, there were men's jobs and women's jobs, and telephone operator was woman's work, and so, you know, it was okay to work out of the home and have that kind of job.
Right.
Well, she changed, and she dropped that job, and she and Les opened up physical training studios, gyms, if you will. He trained the men, she trained the women, and she was featured in the muscle magazines of the era, the physical culture magazines, including Strength and Health magazine, the leading physical culture magazine. And she made such a hit that she was on the cover of the magazine. She started writing a regular monthly column that lasted for something like 20 years.
Wow.
And in that column, you know, she was always giving advice on how women and girls could train for physical culture, strength, beauty, health, longevity, fitness. And she was passionate about that. She probably was the biggest influence on, you know, as far as getting women and girls into physical culture, she was probably the biggest influence of the 1940s and 1950s,
right,
of any woman in the entire world. Just absolutely remarkable impact. I mean, just a really tremendous thing.
Now, we're talking about her right now is because she was able to maintain her femininity with physical culture. And a lot of the women in the audience always worry, oh, I don't want to get too muscular, I don't want to get too bulky. So we're going to focus on the way she trained. For those of you out there who are sitting there going, okay, Carl, I found your show. I want to get involved. I don't know where to start. Okay? So we're going to discuss some exercise routines that Pudgy would have had you do back in the 40s had you stumbled upon her gym. Isn't that right, Brooks? That's what we're going to talk about now?
Absolutely. When you called this morning and we started talking about the show, I said, Carl, I've got a magazine from 1950. It's right here in my hand, right on my desk, and it's got exactly the right workout to share with people.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to do.
So let's start there. Since the women out there understand that your journey to health and longevity starts with physical fitness, and then the second tier is nutrition. We're going to talk about the physical fitness first. What would Pudgy have done with one of our new audience members had they stumbled onto her gym? Where would she have started?
Okay. First thing she would have done was to have said, congratulations, you've just made the best decision of your entire life. So welcome aboard. Welcome to the world of physical training. Welcome to the world of physical culture. And then she would have said, come on into the gym. Let me show you what to do. And she would have sat down and she would have said, what I want you to do is a two-step approach. The first part is to become more active. Life is movement. Being active is what makes you strong and fit and healthy. It's what changes your body. It's what makes all the things happen that you want to happen. You've got to get moving. And the best way to do it is to simply set the alarm clock so you get up a little bit earlier every morning and start the day by putting on your shoes and going for a walk.
That's it. And I love this. This is fasted. So before you even have your breakfast, you can brush your teeth, you can have a little water, but you have all your clothes laid out, you put them on, you put your sneakers on, you walk out of the house, you walk 15 minutes in any direction and 15 minutes back, or if you want to start off with 10 and 10, do that, but you take your first 20 or 30 minute walk first thing in the morning, right?
Absolutely. And Carl, as you noted, that is called fasted or fasting cardio. And the thing about it is that you do it on an empty stomach.
Right.
You do it before you have breakfast. And that's what you've been doing in the last couple of weeks, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
And how's it been working?
Fantastic. I mean, the scale is changing, but my degree of musculature has changed also. So I am seeing myself getting much leaner, but mm-hmm. the scale seems to be staying at about 228 to 230 right now, which is a good thing for me because I want to add muscle and lose fat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it can work for a man and it can work for a woman. You know, one of the things to remember is that what works for a man is also going to work for a woman and vice versa.
Yes. When it comes to this sort of stuff, there really isn't much difference in what you use as far as tools to change your body. What may be different is the amount of weight that you use. But you use the weight that you use. You're not competing with men, and men aren't competing with women. You're competing with yourself. We're going to take a quick commercial break. So we've covered morning cardio. That should be the first thing that you do every single morning, ladies, to get this program rolling. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about some workout routines that you can do on your own or in a gym to help you get started. We're talking with Brooks Kubik, keeper of the flame of physical culture. Visit his website, BrooksKubik, KUBIK.com. We'll be right back.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SH Radio. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest Bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest Bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Age Force, a sponsor of Superhuman Radio, has introduced a brand new 10-hour energy patch. That's right. Now, here's the beauty of the patch. You put it on, and if you don't want the energy anymore, you peel it off, and about an hour later, it stops working. How about that one? You can't do that with a drink. But this is a 10-hour energy patch, and right now they have a buy one, get one free. Plus, they're throwing in additional free patches. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force 10-hour energy patch offer banner ads to learn more. Okay, Brooks, let's hit it. So what are these women going to start doing? What would Pudgy have had them do had they walked into her gym to get started?
Okay. The first thing that she would have done as far as a strength training program would be this. She would have explained that health and fitness has several components. One of them is your cardiovascular health. That's your wind, your conditioning, being able to walk, being able to jog or run, dance, do aerobic activities. That's your typical aerobic training. And the other component is strength training or resistance training. And probably when she said that, people would have thought, well, I can't do that. I can't lift those big barbells and dumbbells. And she would have said, no, look, here are the dumbbells you're going to start with. They're small. They're light.
And women can pick up these light dumbbells at any sporting goods store, Dick's or whatever. They've got 1 pound, 2 pound, 3 pound, and on up. And you start where you can start. That's it.
Absolutely. And, it doesn't matter where you start. What matters is where you finish. And too many people, men and women alike, who get started on a program are too ambitious. They try to lift too much weight. They try to go too heavy. They try to do too many exercises, too long of a workout, too many days. They burn themselves out. We call these crash programs. And the reason that they're crash programs is because everyone who tries them ends up crashing and burning. You don't want to do that. You want to start with very light weights, extremely light, very easy to handle. That's really important. So you have light dumbbells. If you want to use a barbell, you get an adjustable barbell, not an Olympic-style barbell with the big 45-pound plates on the end. That's overkill. You don't need that right now. You want what is called an exercise barbell with a 1-inch diameter bar, perhaps 5 feet long, and you put on small, light barbell plates. Plates should be 1.25 pounds, 2.5 pounds, 5 pounds, maybe get a 10-pound plate. You just need 30, 40, 50 pounds on your barbell, and you're not even going to start with that. You're going to work up to it.
Right.
But initially, you would probably simply use the empty barbell, which would weigh probably 10 pounds or so, maybe
right.
15 pounds at most. The idea is very light, very easy. Now, there are many different exercises to use. What Pudgy liked people to do was stick to the basics. Simple exercises that are easy to learn, easy to perform, and exercises that will not, put any of your joints at risk, not put your back at risk, your shoulders, your elbows. Exercises that will not put you in any kind of position where you might compromise your body. So, safety first. Exercises that she liked. The alternate rowing with dumbbells, which is a bent over rowing motion with light dumbbells. Your arms are hanging extended as you bend over. You bend at the hips. You bend your legs at the knees to take the pressure off your lower back. You keep your lower back flat. The dumbbells are hanging down. You pull the right hand up to the chest, lower it, pull the left hand up to the chest. So it's right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand.
Right.
You do 6 repetitions with each hand. A repetition is simply one movement or one count. So when you pull the dumbbell up to your chest, pause, then lower back to the starting position, that's one repetition, or as we call them, one rep. And again, as I said, you do 6 with each hand. You have now done one set of 6 repetitions in the alternate rowing exercise. You are only going to do one set of each exercise.
Right.
A lot of barbell and dumbbell and weightlifting and bodybuilding programs talk about doing 2 sets or 3 sets or 5 sets or 10 sets or even more of each exercise. But that's advanced training. Beginners do one set of each exercise. That way you avoid overtraining. You avoid getting so sore and stiff that you say to yourself, gosh, I don't want to keep doing this, and then you quit. So the whole idea is a very, very easy beginner's workout. So the first exercise is alternate rowing with dumbbells, one set of 6 repetitions. The next exercise is the deep knee bend or squat, which works the legs, the hips, and the back. And in that, you do one set of 8 repetitions. So you simply do 8 deep knee bends. Now, as a beginner, you can do those with or without weight. If you want to do them without weight, that's fine. If you want to do them with a barbell on your upper back and shoulders, you can do that. Or, very easy way, you can do the dumbbell deep knee bend, where you hold a dumbbell in each hand. And your arms would be hanging extended, so the dumbbells are at your sides. And again, as I said, you do one set of 8 reps. The next exercise, exercise number 3, is the barbell bent over rowing exercise. If you don't have a barbell, simply do another set of the alternate rowing exercise with the dumbbells. For this, you do one set of 6 repetitions. The barbell bent over rowing exercise has you leaning over, bent at the waist, knees slightly bent, back flat, and you pull the barbell up along your legs, and with the barbell, pull it to your midsection, not to your chest, but to your midsection. That's easier on your lower back. It changes the leverage and makes it an easier, safer exercise to keep the barbell close to the body, up along the legs, and up into the lower midsection. After that, do the one-hand dumbbell rowing exercise. Again, this is a bent-over rowing motion. You can bend over, place the left hand on the left leg, support yourself that way, and from that braced position, perform a one-hand dumbbell rowing motion with the right hand, 6 repetitions, then you reverse position so that you brace the right hand on the right leg, you hold the dumbbell in the left hand, and you perform the dumbbell rowing motion, one set of 6 reps with the left hand. An alternative way of performing this is to use a chair or a bench or even a table. Brace the non-lifting arm on the bench or the chair or the table that supports you, and then you perform the exercise with the other hand, and then reverse positions and perform the exercise with the other hand. Okay, the rowing exercises, by the way, work the upper back and the shoulders.
I just need to inject something here.
Yeah.
For the women that are listening to this and going, oh my God, I don't even know what he's talking about. On Brooks's blog today, which you can get to by going to brookskubik.com, and clicking the blog link. You'll find this entire workout with lots of detailed explanations. So don't freak out.
Absolutely. And we didn't have time to put on illustrations, but if you Google these things, if you search, you can find exercise descriptions all over the place online. And the other thing that you can do, you can go to a gym, find a trainer, find a coach, find someone to show you how to do the exercises. And here's the interesting point. They're very simple. They're very easy to learn. You can learn all of them in just a one-hour session. So, you know, lots of ways to get going. Do not, as Carl said, do not
freak
think
out.
That this, yeah, don't freak out. Don't think this is impossible. It sounds like a lot, but that's because you're a beginner. Same with anything where you're a beginner. It's like riding a bicycle for the first time. No one can do it right the first time. Everyone's a beginner, but pretty soon they can ride like a pro. Okay. Next exercise is the military press with barbell. And that is simply lifting the barbell from your shoulders over your head. Shoulders over head. You're pushing it up over your head, and that's called a press or pressing motion. You are doing it with your body straight. That's why they call it a military press, because it's like you were in the military and standing at attention. You do one set of 6 repetitions. The military press works the upper back muscles, the tricep muscles, which are the muscles on the back of the upper arms, and it works the shoulder muscles. Okay, it's very good, by the way. I should say that the rowing exercises and the pressing exercises are very good for posture.
Right.
So very important from that perspective. The next exercise is the alternate dumbbell press. You do this with dumbbells. You hold a dumbbell in each hand, and the dumbbells are at the shoulders. You press the right hand up overhead, lower it, press the left hand up overhead. So it's right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand.
And for those and for those of you out there who are completely uninitiated, you can even do this sort of stuff with just body weight. Just to get the execution down. Because for people who haven't done any exercise in a long time, you know, it may be a good idea for you just to try, you know, the squats without weight. The bent over rowing, just make a fist and pull it into your midsection as Brooks is talking about. And, you know, and then when you get ready, you can start adding weight. Again, there are lots of new people listening to this show. Looking for answers to longevity. Many of them are uninitiated. They are starting where I started when I was at my heaviest and at my sickest back in 1999.
And one of the classic ways of doing this is the old can of tomato soup.
There you go.
It's 1 pound, 16-ounce can of soup, one in each hand, you're off and running.
Right.
Or a book. I'm holding a book in my hand. I've written about 12 books of different page counts, and so I pretty much know what a book weighs. And this one weighs 14 ounces. I know that because I have a mail order business, so weight's important.
Right.
So that's just about a pound.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. Very easy to find something to use.
We have to take a break, Brooke. When we come back, we have to pick up where we're leaving off, okay?
Okay.
All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up where we're leaving off, and then we're going to talk about nutrition a little bit as well. We're talking with Brooks Kubik. This is the Start Your Routine show on your own. You don't need any help. You just need yourself. Motivate yourself to do this. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in
the background is a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30 gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER today.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. Let's pick it up where we left off, Brooks. The last movement we talked about were the alternate dumbbell presses, correct?
Right. And after that, you do bent-legged deadlifts with a barbell, or if you prefer, a pair of dumbbells.
Or a two cans of tomato sauce.
Two cans of tomato sauce.
There you go.
And one set of 8 repetitions. Make sure you know how to perform these. You want to do them with your back relatively flat. You know, there's some technique tips here that you need to pick up on, and we really don't have time to cover them on the show, but the point is, do it as a combined leg and back movement. Don't simply bend over at the waist and lever the bar up and down with your back. Make it a combination of leg and back movement. That's important for a couple of reasons. One is, that's the way to train your hips, and of course, everybody wants to train their hips. And the deadlift is the best exercise, bar none, for training your hips. After that, standard exercise for the midsection, alternate style leg raises. Lie on your back, lift the left leg 6 to 10 inches off the ground, pause, lower it, lift the right leg 6 to 10 inches off the ground, pause, lower it. So it's alternate leg or scissor style, 1, 2, 1, 2, and so on. You do one set of 8 repetitions with each leg. Don't go too high on that. 6 to 10 inches off the ground is fine. You can go a little bit higher later on as you get stronger, but you don't need to make it a full range movement. Some you may see people going way high trying to bring their legs back over their head. Don't need to do that. You can keep your legs straight when you do those, or you can bend them very slightly. Bending them slightly helps to take a little bit of strain off your lower back, so that's probably a good idea. The next exercise is for the calves. It's standing calf raises. Very simple to do. You don't need weights. Stand in front of a wall, about a foot away from the wall. Lean forward, place your hands against the wall for balance, and then simply go up and down on your toes. Every time you go up is one repetition, so it's up, down, up, down, and so on. One set of 8 repetitions. Your final exercise, this is exercise number 10 for those of you who have been counting. Your final exercise is the crunch style sit-up. Everyone knows how to do crunches or crunch style sit-ups. You lie on your back and cross your arms over your chest. Don't put them behind your head because that way you pull on your neck and you can strain your neck. You don't want to do that. So cross your hands at your chest and perform a quarter style sit-up, what we call a crunch or a crunch style sit-up. Do 8 of them. So there you have a very simple 10 exercise workout for beginners, one set of each exercise.
Am I incorrect mm-hmm. that she focused a great deal of effort in these workouts on the posterior chain, the back, upper back? She breaks the back down, upper back, lower back, hamstring, glute, back connection.
Absolutely. And the important thing is this. When people get started, they're looking at the mirror. They want to see changes in the mirror. And so most people overdo exercises for the front of the body. Working the back is more important. You build the back muscles and you start to improve your posture. You stand straighter. You stand taller. You walk more gracefully. You begin to move like an athlete. You are building a foundation for rapid gains in strength and health and figure contouring. And you're doing it by working primarily on, as you noted, the posterior chain or the back muscles in combination with the shoulder muscles. We get a lot of shoulder work in this routine. And that's something that a lot of modern-day programs have forgotten about. But this old program from 1950, that was back in the day when they remembered these things. It's a very, very effective program. Now, Carl, you've done many shows with me, and you know that I am passionate about the importance of progression.
Yes.
In your training.
Yes.
Well, progression is the secret to this workout. Here's what you do for progression. You don't start using heavier weights right away. Instead, you build up to it over time, and you do that by progressing in your workouts by adding repetitions. On the exercises where you do one set of 6 repetitions, you do your workout on Monday, you do the same workout on Wednesday, and on Friday you go in and you do exactly the same workout, but instead of doing one set of 6 repetitions, you do one set of 7 repetitions. In the exercises where you do one set of 8 repetitions, you progress from 8 repetitions to 10 repetitions. You keep this up until you reach 12 repetitions with the exercises where originally you were doing 6 reps, and 20 repetitions on the exercises where you originally were doing 8 reps. So you basically have doubled your number of repetitions. At that point, you increase the weight very slightly. For example, if you're using dumbbells, you might go from a 1-pound dumbbell to a 2-pound dumbbell, or a 2-pounder to a 3-pounder, or a 3-pounder to a 5-pounder. If you're using a barbell, you might go from a 15-pound barbell to an 18-pound barbell. Very, very small increases in weight. When you increase the weight, you drop back to the original repetition count. So you start at one set of 6 repetitions, you build up to one set of 12 repetitions, you add weight, and you drop back to one set of 6 repetitions. And then you repeat the building up process. Do that 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 times. And after you've gone through that building up process a couple of times, you'll be ready for a slightly more difficult, slightly more challenging program.
And we will do that show.
We will do that show.
We will
absolutely
do that show. But what I want to get to next, and for those of you again who tuned in late, this workout is on Brooks Kubik's website, BrooksKubik.com. Click the blog link and you'll see it's appropriately headed beginner's workout for superhuman women. For all of you new women in our audience who are just getting into this and thinking you want to do this, this is a great way to start. There are three components to this. The first is exercise. Walking first thing in the morning, as Brooks talked about, on an empty stomach, and then having your first meal, and then going on to do your workout later on in the day. Nutrition is the second component. The third component is sleep. And we're going to go through sleep and nutrition quickly because it's not hard. It's very simple. Whenever I talk to people about this, they always say, well, can you write it down? Can you give me a program? There's no need to write it down. Okay? Here's how the nutrition goes. You're going to eat five meals a day, assuming like you're the average person. You're up 16 hours a day. You sleep 8 hours a day. That's what you should be doing. So you're going to be able to fit in five meals in those 16 hours if you eat every 2.5 to 3 hours. Okay? Your meals are going to be simple. Okay? They're going to be anywhere between 3 and 5 ounces of lean, or healthy fat, employed protein. So like salmon and that's good fat. Okay? Grass-fed beef. That's good fat. You can have eggs. Don't listen to the media. You can eat chicken. You can eat turkey. You can have cottage cheese. So you're going to have 3 to 5 ounces of protein in every single meal. And you're going to have carbohydrates in every single meal. And you're going to have some fat in every single meal. And the way you're going to get your carbohydrates is during your first 2 to 3 meals, no starchy carbs after 4 o'clock. Very simple. Your choices are red potatoes, sweet potatoes, and oatmeal. Make it very simple on yourself. Those are the things you're going to eat. After 4 o'clock, your carbohydrate choices are going to be green leafy vegetables and vegetables in general. No starchy carbs. Absolutely no corn. Absolutely no rice. Rice is for before 4 o'clock. You can add that wild rice, to your choices there, along with oatmeal, red potatoes, and sweet potatoes. And in the evening, you're going to have vegetables. Your last meal before you go to sleep, you're going to have some cottage cheese and a little bit of some sort of healthy oil. It could be olive oil. It could be coconut oil, something like that. Okay? So you're going to eat 5 times a day. And this is so simple, folks, but it takes discipline because you can no longer eat the things that you were used to eating. You can't eat the potato chips. You can't eat the bread. You can't eat those things anymore. Not forever, just for now. You can go back and eat bread later on if you want to, but right now, to get yourself healthy and lean, you have to start here. And I promise you, if you follow this approach, you will never be hungry throughout the day. You will not be hungry. In fact, you will say what 99% of the people say when they try to start eating this way: I can't eat all of my meals. I just don't have the ability. I'm full by the time I have to eat that next meal. That's okay. Keep adding a meal every day until you get to 5 meals a day. Your metabolism will speed up. Your system will speed up. And you will be able to eat all 5 of those meals throughout the day. If you do this in conjunction with the exercise routine, that sounds very simple, that Brooks laid out, it's not a lot of hard work, and the fasted cardio in the morning, within the first 2 weeks, you will see a dramatic change in your body and in your energy levels. And that will fuel your desire to go further into this journey. Now, we have to take a quick commercial break, and I'm saving this last discussion about possibly the single most important part of all this, and that is sleep, something that many women are guilty of not getting enough of because you're busy taking care of your family. Well, guess what? Your family is going to take a back seat to the importance of going to bed on time. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Dr. William Parker will be talking about the original paleo food, breast milk, and why it's important to breastfeed your baby. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Schmeiß die Möbel auf.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Want hardcore legal gear? Check out MrSupps.com. MrSupps.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSupps.com can deliver the goods, and no one beats MrSupps.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones, because MrSupps.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSupps.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSupps.com. That's MrSupps.com. Cutting-edge products at wholesale prices. Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just a reminder, 10-hour energy is here. Buy one, get one free, plus a bunch of free patches when you take advantage of the offer only to the Superhuman Radio audience. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. The first energy product that you can stop from working when you want it to. Once you drink one of those 5-hour energies, you've got it. That's it. But with this patch, because it's a 10-hour energy patch and it's transdermally delivered, when you pull the patch off within an hour later, you stop having the energy. So not a bad deal. Okay. Back to the discussion with Brooks Kubik. This show is for beginners. I know that a lot of my audience are probably going, Carl, why are you talking about this? Well, we have a lot of new listeners. A lot of them are women. A lot of them are struggling to try to find a way to get to where we are already in this audience. We have to help them. That's how we grow the superhuman nation, by getting new inductees involved in physical culture and nutrition. Now, we've talked about physical culture. We've talked about the exercise routines. It's on Brooks Kubik's website, BrooksKubik, K-U-B-I-K.com, in the blog. We've talked about dumbing down nutrition. It's very, very simple, okay? 5 meals a day, no starches after 4 o'clock,
Plenty of protein in every meal. Healthy fats like avocados are okay. This is the way you're going to change your body. But the most important component of all this, none of this works. What Brooks talked about in exercise, what I'm talking about in nutrition, none of it works if you don't get your sleep straight. Now, women are the most guilty of this. They come home after work. They get the kids together. They make dinner. They have laundry to do. They put the kids to sleep, and they go, oh, finally, I have some peace and quiet time. I think I'm going to sit down in front of the TV, turn it on, and first I watch the 10 o'clock news, then I watch the 11 o'clock news, then I watch the Jimmy Kimmel show, and next thing you know, it's midnight, I'm just going to bed, and I got to get up at 6 a.m. in the morning again and start all over. Well, guess what? You cannot lose weight. You cannot get healthy. In fact, you will develop diseases unnecessarily if you abuse your sleep the way you're abusing it right now, ladies. Okay? We were biologically created to go to sleep when the sun went down. That's how animals live in the wild, and that's how we lived as well. So you need to reprogram your body. You need to get in bed when the kids go to bed. That's when you should be going to bed. Why are you getting them to bed early? Well, they need their sleep. They're growing. We need them to be healthy. What about you? So when you get to bed, you get the kids to bed, you're sending a signal to the kids that not only is it important for you, but it's important for mommy too. Ask your spouse to cooperate with you. Say, look, I'm going to start going to bed early because I'm going to get up early and do my walk before I get the kids up for school in the morning. And surely this person will accommodate you. But you must get your sleep straight. You must sleep in a dark room. Move all electrical appliances away from your head. Your alarm clock should not be 12 inches from your head on your bedstand. Move it. Because it's already been shown that AC current radiating into your head actually shuts down the production of melatonin. You're not sleeping well. Sleeping well is just as important as getting enough sleep. Dark room, quiet room, cool room. We sleep better in a cool room. Turn the air conditioning up at night. If you're watching the pennies and you keep the house warm throughout the day, don't skip and keep it warm at night. Let the house get cool at night. You will sleep better. Try to be in bed by 9 o'clock the latest, just like the kids. Okay? Get a good, full, restful 8 hours sleep. Get up in the morning and start your walk. If you do not get your sleep straight, you will continue to be insulin resistant, whether you think you are or not. If you're carrying 30, 40, 50 pounds more than you want to, you are close to insulin resistance as you can be without being full-blown diabetic. You must get your insulin resistance under control. The first step to doing that is getting your sleep managed. And then adding exercise and foods like we just talked about quickly that don't spike insulin throughout the day and night. And the weight will come off so quickly, everyone will want to know what you're doing, and you will become a guru. Everyone will come to you and ask, well, how did you do it? How did you lose 40 pounds? Did you do Jenny Craig? Did you do Weight Watchers? No, I didn't do any of those things. I did it myself. How did you do it? Teach me, teach me, teach me. That's what's going to happen. But you got to do it first for yourself. And if you can't do this for yourself, do it for your children. Because remember, they model us. If they see their mom is way overweight, abusing herself by staying up late every single night, not getting enough sleep, eating the wrong foods, guess what? They don't do what you tell them to do. They do what you do. And your kids are going to follow in your footsteps, and they're going to have earlier time to develop diseases than you did. Okay, Brooks, what do you think about some of the things I just talked about?
Well, you just absolutely hit the nail on the head with the sleep. We are discovering that there are so many adverse health conditions, so many diseases that are linked to a simple and fixable, controllable inability to sleep or not getting enough sleep. Impaired glucose tolerance. As you were saying, I mean, you can basically, through not getting enough sleep, put yourself in a pre-diabetic state. There are plenty of studies that show a possible link to obesity, increased carbohydrate cravings, which is certainly not a problem anyone wants to have to deal with. Your immune system is weakened, increased risk of breast cancer.
And in fact, we're doing a show next Thursday with a scientist. The article is still embargoed, but there is now a link to the development of the most aggressive breast cancers
as a result of inadequate or improper sleep in women.
Whoa.
And okay. We're doing it next Thursday. I've already got them booked.
You know, an inability to focus, inability to concentrate, possible hardening of the arteries, depression, irritability. There are tons of articles on the internet. If you don't believe us, do a little bit of Googling, and you will find that not getting enough sleep, not getting sleep on a regular basis, not getting quality sleep is a huge problem. And it is a fixable problem. And as Carl said, you do it for yourself and you do it for your loved ones. You do it for the children because they model, they do what you do. And you want them doing the right things. The right things
for
lifelong health.
You know what I find shocking, Brooke?
Yeah.
Every day we talk about behaviors that we should not expose our children to, right? So
yeah.
Like even the FDA says amalgam fillings should not be placed in the mouth of pregnant women or children because pregnant women, the children can be born with birth defects, but you can put them in the mouths of normal everyday adults. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why is it toxic for children and toxic for pregnant mothers, but not toxic for humans? Well, it is toxic for adult humans as well, but nobody cares. And I say this all the time. When people say alcohol is a healthy thing for you, right? Oh, no, alcohol's good for you. Then I say, well, would you give it to your dog and would you give it to your baby? Because if it's healthy for you, it's got to be healthy for them too, right? But if it's unhealthy for them, then don't give me this BS that it's healthy for you. We all like alcohol because of the drug-like effects. It gives you a buzz, but let's not try to make it something it's not. And the same is true of sleep. Would you keep your baby up all night long, day after day? Would you wake your kids up at midnight and keep them up until 3 and then let them go back to sleep week after week? No, you wouldn't do that to them. That would be terrible. They take your kids away from you for child abuse. Why do you do it to yourself then? Why?
Well, sleep deprivation is a way of breaking down prisoners. it's a very, very effective and very, very punishing technique that is used by the military and others to break people down. Some call it torture. I'm not going to get into the torture debate, but I'm going to say this. If you can break down a human being through sleep deprivation, why in the world would you want to break down yourself through sleep deprivation? Don't want to do it. And here's another plus. Put it all together. When you're eating better, when you have your meals under control, when you have your carbohydrate intake under control, when you're not eating the junk food, it's easier to sleep. When you're training, when you're doing the exercise routine that I've described, when you're getting up and going for walks in the morning, guess what? It's easier to sleep. These things all tie together. The exercise, the diet helps the sleep. The sleep helps the exercise program. The diet helps everything else. They all tie together.
Right.
It's a holistic or a synergistic effect.
Right.
It's not just one thing. It's not just exercise. It's not just diet. It's not just getting more sleep. It's all three of them. It's a combination program. But it's a pretty simple program. And we've outlined it in, by my watch, 58 minutes.
Yes, and actually, thank you for reminding me because we're coming to the end of the interview. And for those of you who want to look at the workout yourself, go to BrooksKubik, BrooksKubik.com. Click the blog link, and it's right there on today's posting. Brooks, thank you very much for helping me put this very, very important show together to initiate some of our newcomers, okay?
Carl, it's my pleasure, and I just want to say to all of the newcomers, thanks for coming on board, and thanks for taking that first step on what I hope will be a journey to lifelong strength and health.
Not only lifelong, but long life. There
Absolutely.
You go. Thanks, Brooks.
Sure thing.
Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll have Dr. William Parker on from Duke University, and we're going to talk about the original paleo diet, breast milk. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You ready? Well, let's find out, shall we?
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the AgeForce Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit AgeForce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AgeForce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. I am really excited about this next interview. As you know, for those of you who visit us on Facebook, I plugged this show today as Breast Milk, the original paleo diet. I'm being joined today by my guest, Dr. William Parker from Duke University. How you doing, Dr. Parker?
I am doing great. It's a pleasure to be here.
And, you know, when I picked up the phone and you and I started chatting, I told you what I called this. And we said, you know, when you really think about it, the first meal, I don't care what period of time we look at our ancient ancestors, the first meal they got was breast milk.
That is correct. That's, you know, that goes way back, all the way to monotremes. So animals that don't have dreams, apparently. You know.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, how, what a boring life that must have been.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so Duke University went ahead and did a study where they analyzed breast milk and its ability to influence the microbiota, correct, of the stomach against some of the top-selling formulas, correct?
That is correct. We're not looking in the infant's stomach. These are very simple experiments. In fact, high school person could have done them. Some probably middle school, I would guess. It's very simple. You look you take your bacteria, of course you need to know how to culture that, you mix it with breast milk, and you mix it, you also take some of the same bacteria and mix those with infant formulas, and what you see is two completely different kinds of bacterial growth in the milk versus the infant formulas.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, so what made you perform this research?
Probably 8-9 years ago, we made a discovery. We were very excited about it. We figured out that in the normal digestive tract, bacteria form these living films called biofilms,
right,
that appear to be protective in the gut. So that was a nice discovery. Nobody had figured that out before. It led us in a lot of new directions. We figured out, oh, wow, my goodness, this is what the human appendix does, for example. We figured out a lot of things. One thing led to another. We determined that one of the things that helps the biofilms form was found in mother's milk. So the next step was then to see, well, how does the mother's milk compare with, you know, other kinds of infant nutrition? Is it possible that this could be one of the reasons why mother's milk is so much better for babies than the infant formulas?
You know, and I apologize for perhaps being so naive, but I've been doing this show for over 8 years now, and the show started out with just examining science, but what I've come to find out is when science contradicts what we know to be true, you must abandon science and go with what we know to be true. And in the area of nature, how could anything be more perfect than mother's milk? Do you have any knowledge of the history of the introduction of infant formula and why we even tried this experiment on humans?
So I am definitely not an expert at where the infant formulas came from, but since I've been working on this project, people have been enlightening me about this, and it's quite shocking. It's frankly it's a very amazing story that I'm sure you probably know much better than I.
No, I really don't. I've never looked into this part.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so it's from what I understand, and so I've been talking with people who are very interested in breastfeeding and what the barriers are to breastfeeding and why, you know, starting off, a quarter of all mothers don't breastfeed, and then by the 6 month period, it's a half of mothers in the United States are not breastfeeding. So they're trying to, you know, and we know that lack of the mother's milk causes increases in all kinds of immune problems, you know, both allergic and autoimmune. So these people are working very hard to try to get people to breastfeed, and they are the ones who really know the history of how the infant formulas came in as kind of a way to liberate mothers. It was at a time, you know, when...
See, and I suspected that.
Well, that's apparently that's what I am told. Now, of course, you know, I myself don't have any children. My wife and I married for 23 years, but no kids. So I don't have much experience with the actual personal breastfeeding business.
This is the same thing that, you know, we did a show many, many months ago with an anthropologist who discovered that we never slept for a continuous 8 hours before until the Industrial Revolution. Humans used to go to sleep, generally wake up anytime between midnight and 3 a.m. in the morning, stay up for a couple hours, then go back to sleep and then sleep in to the morning. But that didn't fit a 9 a.m. you know, punch the clock kind of a world. And so there was a movement along with what was the other thing? You know, alcohol, abstaining from alcohol. Those were all things that didn't fit into the Industrial Revolution. They wanted us to sleep consolidated 8 hours so we could get up at 9 o'clock. And then also this notion that you just eat a breakfast, lunch, and dinner meal. We never ate that way until, again, the industrialization. I would imagine that breastfeeding would allow women to work while someone else tended to their children, or at least have them be more ambulatory instead of connected to a child at the whim all the time.
That is correct. In fact, a lot of the impetus these days is to, you know, there's so much pressure on the mothers because they know that breastfeeding is important, but at the same time they're being squeezed from the other side because breastfeeding is not accepted very well in the workplace, and, you know, you need to be at... So even in the hospitals, sometimes they're saying that this is not encouraged and facilitated the way it should be.
Very sad.
So it's very sad, but these organizations are trying to work to break down, they call them booby traps, oddly. They're trying to work to break down these pitfalls to facilitate breastfeeding.
I love that. Now, getting back to the biofilms, it's very well understood that the young infant's stomach is very permeable and perhaps on purpose, because it is understood that there's a lot more than just nutrition being delivered through the mother's breast milk. Quite often, very, very large molecules that normally would not penetrate the lining of the stomach are able to get through. Do you think that these biofilms, they kind of accumulate over time and seal off the permeability of the stomach over time?
I think, first of all, I think it's important to point out that we can't test what happens in the absence of biofilms, sort of like we can't test what happens in the absence of a liver, you know, things just
gotcha.
Don't, you know, because the normal state is with the biofilms. But so what we think is going on is that the biofilms, number one, kind of form this barrier that keeps other very large pathogens out. So, and by very large, I'm talking, you know, a micron or so, the size of a bacteria that would potentially cause an infection. And secondly, when the bacteria are aggregated in a big clump, you know, they're forming this big film, they can't get in. So the bacteria stay where they need to be is the idea. They're not so invasive, they can't go across the barrier so easily.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. All right, we have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I've got lots of good questions for you about the research, and hopefully our audience will take away some good information. We're talking with Dr. William Parker. We're talking about the Duke Breast Milk Study. This is a really, really important one. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Yeah, that's it.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan 2, mechanical growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yo, give me something to dance to.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Dr. William Parker from Duke University about the effectiveness and benefits of breast milk versus infant formulas. Okay, so let's get back to the subject at hand. So obviously the breast milk had a better ability to create these biofilms. Were there biofilms created at all in the infant formulas, or was it something that was just an incomplete type of a biofilm?
No, this was just an absolute black and white sort of daylight and dark kind of issue. When you put the bacteria in with the human milk, what happens is it looks like it kills the bacteria, because the way we count bacteria, you know, you dilute them out and you plate them out and you put them on plates. In fact, you can look through the old literature, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and a few people actually thought that bacteria were killed by milk. So it turns out, of course, that's not what's going on. You know, the milk is feeding the bacteria as well as the baby, and the bacteria and the baby are both dependent on the milk. When you add those bacteria, so the reason why the numbers were going down is the bacteria are clumping together. Then, so a clump of 1,000 bacteria, it still only forms one colony on a plate, so you think it's only one bacteria.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Now what type of what type of infant formulas were you comparing to? I don't necessarily need to know names, but was one a bovine milk base, one
right,
a soy base?
We did 3 different bovine and we did 3 different soy based formulas.
And none of those performed well, I take it.
Well, so they did exactly the opposite. So as soon as you put a bacteria in with any of those formulas, and they are all exactly the same, the bacteria growth goes crazy. This is what we call planktonic growth. It's kind of like bacterial nomads running around everywhere, just single cells dividing. So whereas with the human milk, you have this aggregate of bacteria. With all of the formulas that we try, both soy and bovine based, you have just prolific growth of single individual bacteria, which, as you can imagine, is completely different. Classically in microbiology, there's really only 2 ways that bacteria grow. And one is this quote-unquote planktonic way induced by the infant formulas. The other is called sessile growth, or it's the growth where they're adherent and sticking to each other.
Okay. Okay.
So really, you only have 2 choices, and infant formula does one, and it does it very well, and mother's milk does the other, and it does it very well.
Okay, now we talk about bacteria, but we talk about good and bad bacteria. There's pathogens that are bad bacteria, correct?
That is correct, yes.
So was there any evidence that the breast milk acted differently, or did you try any type of pathogens in this experiment?
We haven't tried pathogens in the experiment. Based on what we know about the immune system and how it works with the bacteria, there's certain elements of the immune system that are not very specific. So they're kind of general, and they don't really distinguish between a pathogen and a non-pathogen. So it looks like that if you get a pathogen in there, it would also be potentially incorporated into a biofilm. Now, that being said, I think one of the things that pathogens do is they try to escape around the biofilm.
Mm.
So the good bacteria actually
it's sequestered.
Depend on...
I was going to say, they kind of get sequestered into the biofilm, and maybe it can't do any damage.
Right, exactly. So that's one of the tricks that pathogens use to get is to get around the biofilms and then get in, infect the baby's or the whoever's tissue.
Go ahead. Were you going to follow up with that?
Yeah, so the basic idea then is that the good bacteria kind of depend on the mother's milk. Biologically, they're essentially dependent on the mother's milk to help form these films, whereas a bad bacteria is trying to escape around the mother's milk.
Uh-huh.
And in adult humans that, for example, that can't produce one of the molecules, it's called immunoglobulin A,
right,
that helps the bacteria stick, what you find is that the bacteria, they stop producing the receptor that binds to immunoglobulin A. So, in other words, if you can't make the molecules, then the bacteria stops producing the receptor for it.
Gotcha.
Because there's no need for it if the individual is not making the molecules. And the same is probably, mother's milk is one of the things that contains a very high concentration of immunoglobulin A.
Well, IgA, IgG, IgE, those are all, with those of us in the audience who are zealots about raw unpasteurized bovine milk, which I've been drinking for over a decade now. We know that there are a lot of things that are in milk that are lost when it's pasteurized. And in fact, if you look at Dr. Ron Schmidt's book, The Untold Story of Milk, he talks about the fact that tuberculosis was actually being spread by pasteurized milk, and children in institutions where they had their own farms and they were milking their own cows, they were resistant to tuberculosis. There's a lot of value in the immunoglobulins that are found in mother's milk the same way, I would imagine. Did you see the research out of University of California in San Diego about breastfeeding protecting infants from HIV transmissions from HIV-infected mothers?
Now, I've seen a lot of information coming out about how breast milk is very protective against a variety of things, including different kinds of infections.
Mothers with verifiable HIV who give birth and breastfeed their babies do not transfer the HIV to the baby because the HIV apparently becomes embargoed by the oligosaccharides in the mother's milk, and so it can't get to the baby. It's really an amazing phenomenon. There's just so many reasons why women should be breastfeeding. No, I mean, you know what? I want to slap myself in the forehead whenever I think of somebody using formula instead of breast milk. It just baffles me. What was it in the breast milk? Did you discover what was in the breast milk that was responsible for the production of these biofilms?
So we know that the immunoglobulin A helps, but we also know that there's other things. There's sort of these mystery molecules. They're pretty big. We think they're proteins that are in addition to, apparently, it's kind of a mystery right now. We've been working on it for a while to try to fish them out, but it may be that they work together with other proteins, so when you separate them, your pasteurization idea is intriguing because it doesn't look like if you start manipulating the milk that they're overly stable, but I wouldn't swear to that, but
right.
It's hard to, right now, I'll just leave it, it's a mystery to us at the moment. But we would love to know what they are. It's some protein in there that's probably already been identified. It's certainly been identified, just nobody knows what its function is.
There's a lot of
those things in milk.
Is it a component, bovine milk has a greater degree of micellar casein and then a lesser degree of whey. Is human milk pretty much the same way?
Well, the milk that we're looking at is from early on, shortly after birth. So we don't know. So a lot of the cow milk that you're talking about, that's from much later. I'm not sure. The colostrum versus the later milk.
Right.
Right. So early on, it's a bit thicker. Don't yet know how it would work later on. We're talking about colostrum, which is very rich in almost everything.
So this was colostrum that you were looking at.
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, and that's great stuff if you can get it. My farmer that he calls me whenever they have a cow give birth because the first day colostrum goes to the calf, but he sells me a couple gallons of the second day colostrum.
Oh, very nice.
And it looks just like eggnog. It's yellow. It's got a high degree of fat, a high degree of beta carotene in it. Really, really thick. So I know
some
what you're
of
talking.
The yeah. We work with human milk primarily, of course.
Yeah,
and of course, that actually looks the same in some cases.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. I wonder if the mother's diet changes what they produce as far as breast milk goes. I can't imagine that you looked at this, but I don't know if you.
No, so the samples that we get are from anonymous donors. We can't track, you know, the age or the diet or any kind of particulars. But we go through an awful lot of milk running these experiments.
You know, there's a lot of research now coming out linking the gut flora and microbiota to a propensity to develop some very popular chronic diseases that we see in society today.
Yes.
And in fact, we did a show recently with a group. I want to say, I can't remember what university we were with, but they did the Amish gut study. They looked at the Amish because it's a very well-controlled group that doesn't use a lot of antibiotics and pharmaceutical drugs, and looked at the flora in their stomach and so on and so forth. And we were talking about that a couple, well, maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and the fact that there is a linkage between a disrupted gut flora and obesity now. And there's a scientist out of the UK now that is linking some of the autism spectrum disorder onsets to the lack of certain bacteria in the stomach. And so I guess these rogue molecules get into the bloodstream unchecked because the body is not digesting them properly. So there's a lot of attention right now on gut health, and in a country where everybody's taking a proton pump inhibitor for some sort of, you know, GI issue.
Right, 30%, yeah.
Yeah, I have to believe that children that are breastfed probably don't develop a lot of these problems because they have that initial seeding, if you will, of really healthy gut flora. Now, were you able to look at the actual types of I want to use the proper term, the actual different fractions of the microbiota that you were using. Did it emulate what is normally found in the stomach?
Well, we're working with model organisms, so that we can genetically modify, and that allows us to figure out exactly which molecules are involved in the interaction. Long time ago, somebody figured out that the work was done in 1972 and published in the journal Science, a very well-known bit of work where they determined that these immunoglobulins, the IgA, will interact with many different kinds of bacteria and help them aggregate together. Now, they didn't realize that was the normal condition of the gut, and in fact, they misinterpreted the data and thought, well, this is how your immune system is antibacterial. And of course, now we know that your immune system is not antibacterial. It works in harmony with these symbiotic, mutualistic bacteria and helps those bacteria to grow. So all of those studies which are showing that, you know, a messed up microbiome are, you know, the bacteria of the gut are associated with these different immune diseases. And we believe autism is an immune disease as well.
Right.
At least in its onset.
Right.
And there was just a big thing in the New York Times this past weekend describing some of our research on that. But the idea is, okay, the immune system is messed up. So the immune system and the microbiome are very closely tied together. So once the immune system is not a defensive system. I mean, that's one part of it, but it's really an environmental interface.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the immune system is involved in just maintaining the standard relationship, not fighting things off. In fact, one of the best ways to maintain a relationship is to help and support your allies.
Right.
So that is exactly what, you know, and you can make all kinds of analogies to our federal government, but that's the idea. It's not to just attack anybody that gets close. It's to maintain good relationships with these allies which we've had since humans have been on the planet. That's what the immune system is primarily doing in the gut, is helping those bacteria grow. When the immune system therefore gets out of whack, whether it's, you know, in one kind of disease or immune disease such as autism, or whether it's in multiple sclerosis or whatever, then you can expect that there might be problems with the microbiome, because the microbiome is so closely tied to the immune system.
Interesting. We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you how some of your research is being met right now, because there seems to be, as you pointed out, not only an anti-breast milk movement in the country, but also when you do hear about breastfeeding, it's always this the most aberrant, you know, a mom who's breastfeeding a five-year-old or something like that,
right,
in a restaurant.
Sensationalist.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So let's do this. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick up the discussion with Dr. William Parker from Duke University. Stay tuned. I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Want hardcore legal gear? Check out MrSupps.com. MrSupps.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSupps.com can deliver the goods, and no one beats MrSupps.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones, because MrSupps.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSupps.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSupps.com. That's MrSupps.com. Cutting-edge products at wholesale prices.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. William Parker from Duke University about the Duke breast milk study. Dr. Parker, how are you being received with this information?
You know, I've done some controversial stuff in the past, but this does not seem to be controversial, at least in the terms of the people that are contacting me and the feedback that I'm getting. Everybody seems to know the infant formulas don't work as well. It's just nice to have such a beautiful laboratory illustration that shows the difference. One thing that I did run into that I did not expect was there's so many organizations out there that are promoting breastfeeding and trying to decrease the use of the infant formulas. That there's, you know, one of the things that we'd like to do is make the infant formulas better. And I'm not sure that they're entirely happy with that. Clearly right now the infant formulas are not better. If somebody is going to use an infant formula, in theory, then the results that we have could be used down the road to make those infant formulas better. But that's the one aspect of our work which I think isn't being overly embraced, is the
fact
potential
that you're going to take this information and try to make infant formulas better instead of trying to promote breastfeeding, right?
Well, no. So the idea is to do both.
Right. But in the
right,
in the,
so you
in
promote
the,
breastfeeding.
Right.
Right. And this is a beautiful example of how much difference there is between the breast milk and the infant formulas. But at the same time, if somebody is going to use an infant formula, you might as well make it as good as you can. Now, that's the part that is not, but, you know, we haven't made any progress on that, and no, you know, that would be something for industry to do anyway. So.
Well, here's an, I wasn't really going to bring this up during the show because I think it needs, there's a lot of background that needs to go into it, but over the 8 years that I've been doing the show, I have received emails from couples who have given birth, and for whatever reason, the mom either didn't produce milk, didn't produce enough milk, or there was some other issue that the mother couldn't breastfeed. And we talk about raw and pasteurized milk on this show. In fact, I was just checking my email. I just got an email from a guy asking me about adding raw butter and raw honey and raw milk as a weight gaining approach for somebody. And, you know, and so I get this stuff constantly because we are huge proponents of raw and pasteurized milk. And I've had emails from people and they've said, you know, we're going to try raw unpasteurized bovine milk for our baby. What do you think? And I say, look, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I can't tell you, yes or no. I think you need to, you know, get an eyedropper, put some on his tongue. If he doesn't get sick, give him a little bit more and see how that just goes. I mean, that's all you can do, really.
Do the
I don't
experiment.
Know.
I see.
And then I get emails from these people, and I got an email from a guy, about 5 or 6 months ago. He said, you know, 2 years ago we had a baby and, my wife couldn't breastfeed, and we gave the child, his son, raw and pasteurized milk, and the baby thrived. And they're about to give birth to another child, and they're going to do the same thing, and they're so happy. And so my question to you would be, other than the fact that the American government unfairly oppresses the sale of raw and pasteurized milk to protect the milk industry.
The American government is unfair?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Did I say
I'm sorry.
That?
I'm sorry.
I know. But I mean, why not look at raw unpasteurized bovine milk as an alternative?
Well, of course, you know, you can't recommend anything to patients, or that's just bad. That's, you know, we're not allowed to do that at
right.
Duke University unless they're our own patient.
Right.
I am very curious. I don't know if we're beginning to look into. We started looking at the cow's milk, and we're going to look into it some more. I don't know if you're interested in that story there.
Yes, I am. Please, I want to hear about it because I already told you my feeling about pasteurized milk. It's roadkill, basically. It's dead food.
So indeed, we did take a look at your roadkill milk, and it does exactly the same thing as infant formulas, which to us was kind of surprising. I got a colleague who is an expert in bovine digestion, and looking at how the biology works, the bovine milk or the cow milk should work exactly the same as the human milk. So we're going to try to figure out, you know, is it the pasteurization? Is it the fact they've bred these cows to produce literally thousands of gallons?
Yes.
Of milk, and we don't know what's going on.
I'm gonna tell you what your colleague is going to figure out.
All right, my colleague says it's the pasteurization.
Yes, but that's just part of it.
Okay.
Absolutely. Pasteurization destroys anything good in the milk.
Okay.
But the other thing is that the cows must be grass-fed. Because,
look,
you and I, if we were lost in the woods and our only alternative to survive was to eat tree bark, we probably could survive eating tree bark long enough for the search crew to find us. Okay? Now, a termite can thrive on tree bark, but you and I could just survive on tree bark. Well,
for temporarily, yes.
That's it. That's it. Now, back in the late 1800s, the distilleries got into the milk business. They said, hey, you know, we're throwing all this mash away and we have bottles. Why don't we just start feeding the mash to cows and making milk, and we can squeeze some extra profits out of this stuff that we're throwing away? And somebody probably got a promotion for that. So they bought some cows. They started feeding them the corn mash. Well, the cows got mastitis, and pus was released into the milk, and close to 1,100 people died on the East Coast in 1858, I want to say. It was called the Swill Milk Epidemic. Babies, men, children, women, they died from this terrible milk. Now, instead of the government going, hey, you guys have to get out of the milk business, you're filthy, you don't... Well, they said, look, we got a lot of money with the distilleries. We're buying politicians all the time. Give us some time to work this out. We heard about this thing called pasteurization. So they pasteurized the milk. And guess what? It killed the bad pathogens. But guess what else it killed? All the good things that were in the milk. And we have been forced to drink pasteurized milk forever. Whenever I hear an FDA, I was listening to a radio show the other day, and I called in, I tried to get on the air, and this FDA spokesperson was talking about how, you know, dangerous, they were talking about food safety and how dangerous raw milk is. And I just wanted to ask him the simple question. You know, I wanted to ask him, hey, use your critical thinking skills just for a minute. I understand it's dangerous.
Right. No.
But how did we get from 2,000 years ago to 1858 without anybody dying from it?
Yeah, and why aren't baby goats just dying right and left? The only thing they ever drink is unpasteurized milk.
Wait a minute.
They should all be dead.
Why aren't the Mennonites dying? All they drink is pasteurized milk. Unpasteurized. Why aren't farmers dying? Come on, please. Please. I guarantee you that if you do this, you will do such a great thing for humanity. If you compare raw, unpasteurized milk from hormone-free, antibiotic-free cows that eat the diet that nature intended them to eat, which is grass, you will find that it does exactly what the mother's milk does. I'll bet you lunch on it.
So if they had, so mastitis, that would be an infection in the mammary gland,
right?
And you're getting, so if you have bacterial growth before you're supposed to, the bacteria, so again, the immune system isn't that specific. It's assimilating bacteria. So if the bacteria have already grown and they've used up the components in the milk, that is, we've got a laundry list of possible explanations. And one of those is, if you've got a lot of bacterial growth in there, it will have already used up all of the things that help bacteria do what bacteria do. So by the time you get it in the store, it's all gone.
Right. Right.
So that's entirely, we're working with some guys at NC State. I will talk to them about that and see what kind of options we can get.
There are some other nasty little unknowns about pasteurized store-bought milk. The first is that there are amino acids actually removed from it that are sold off to other industries. There's no longer complete amino acid profiles in store-bought milk. Okay? This is a fact. I had a guy on the show last year that talked about this. The other thing is that they regularly add things to the milk to make it whiter. And it's done by the farmers, so the milk processors don't put anything on the label. And this story was told to me by a dairy farmer 5 years ago on this show. He had a tanker full of milk going to a very, very large name center to drop off his milk. They checked it for pathogens. They told him, you got way too much pathogens in here. He said, I'll be right back. He drove to a Piggly Wiggly store. He bought 5 gallons of Clorox. He poured them into the truck. He drove the truck for 15 minutes. He drove back. They checked the pathogens. They says, okay. Now, they knew it was him coming back a half hour later. Okay, so store-bought milk is disgusting, terrible stuff, and more people have died from pasteurized milk than the dreaded unpasteurized milk. So I guarantee you that if you would do this wonderful thing for people all over the world and compare unpasteurized, raw, healthy milk from grass-fed cows, you will either open up a Pandora's box that will get you hated or applauded for the rest of your life.
Well, so it's just, you know, from my perspective, my training is in biophysics. So we study the interactions of different molecules with each other. So for me, it's just, you know, one molecule working on another molecule, and you know, one happens to be in the milk and another's on the bacteria. And if pasteurization kills it, I mean, that's just some molecules are that way. Or if, you know, the molecule gets absorbed out because there were some bacteria there early in the process, then that's, you know, from the scientific perspective, we kind of don't worry about what people think too much. We're just interested in what our little molecules are doing.
Good, good.
And sometimes it does have pretty interesting implications for human beings, and that's always very exciting.
Okay, we're going to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I just want to know, in your words, what you want the audience to take away from this research and find out where you're going from here. We're talking with Dr. William Parker from Duke University, the importance of breast milk, it looks like. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This ain't nothing but a summer jam. Brown skin and cinnamon dance.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomeres. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Adele Musa, who is a contributor to this show, will be joining me tomorrow. when we do our science and the news roundup during the second hour of tomorrow's show. Of course, the first hour, we will have the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy acquisition for those of us more serious about building strength and muscle. Also, don't forget to visit Adele's website, Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. And Adele posted on my Facebook, he said that Dannon is coming out with a new Nutris formula with special large fat molecules that are reintroduced into the milk, although they would have that if they did not homogenize the milk in the first place. Very true. You know, milk is big business, Dr. Parker. And I have to believe that so is the formula industry. And I doubt that the formula industry wants to lose a lot of business if they can help it. What do you hope that people take away from this? This is obviously the first study, and it's opening doors for other studies, correct?
That is correct. We hope that people will take away from this strong evidence that there's a vast difference between the mother's milk and the infant formulas. Of course, we know in terms of baby health that's true, but now here you've got an experiment which anybody could do if they just had a few simple laboratory reagents, and you can see a huge difference in these two different sources of nutrition. I think that's important. It's also important, I think, to understand that our culture, this post-industrial or Western culture in general, has a number of factors that destabilize our immune systems. So the absence of mother's milk is just one of those. There's kind of a storm of these factors, and, mm-hmm. and one of them has to do with so much stress. Part of that has to do with decreased exercise. Another one is working indoors, vitamin D deficiency.
Beautiful.
Yep, there's loss of certain species because we all use toilets and we have water sanitation. So species that have always been with humans since, you know, about 1950 on, they've sort of slowly dwindled out of the population. These are helmets and other organisms. You guys may not talk about these on your show. They don't have anything to do with nutrition. This is to do with sanitation. So all of these things act together to destabilize the immune system. And if you can't, you know, get the mother's milk, then you just add yet one more factor that's sort of piling on top of the others.
Can we speculate that since mother's milk is introduced so early on, you know, we know so much about the neonatal genes and how important they are not to disrupt for the growth of so many different systems in the baby's body. Couldn't we say that, and rightfully so, you just spoke about several things that we bang that drum constantly, you know, vitamin D and vitamin A, by the way, because people don't get enough vitamin A. We talk about stem cells. Well, guess what? Nature didn't put those stem cells in your body, so some UCLA physician could harvest them and grow them. They're there to repair things. Guess what every scientist uses to differentiate stem cells? Vitamin A. But people are told, oh, just take beta carotene. It doesn't always convert to vitamin A. So we talk about D and A together are very, very critical. And you just covered a lot of ground there. But could we not give mother's milk just a slight degree more gravity because it's introduced at this critical formation time? It's the first, almost like the first domino for the immune system?
Well, no.
Okay.
And the reason is because what the mother, before the baby ever sees the milk, the mother is already communicating with the immune system of that baby. And if the mother has inflammation going on, the baby, before it ever comes out of the hatch, so if the mother's vitamin D deficient, that is bad for the baby.
There you go.
So before the milk even comes along, you've got a lot of stuff that goes on, especially with the autism thing. We think that a lot of things go on in the first trimester.
Right.
So if the mother has inflammation, if she's vitamin D deficient, if she's stressed out, if she, you know, we already know that we're all depleted. We just across the board, everybody in Western culture is depleted of these species that have stabilized our immune systems for millennia. So all of that, you know, before the baby even gets out of the hatch, it can be working for or against the baby. So that I would say that's why it's so important to get the mother's milk if at all possible, because there's already so many things that can be working against us, see?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
And that's why you have the letters after your name and I don't. And guess what? That's why I can say silly things and no one can threaten to take anything away from me either. So there you go.
Oh, okay, yes.
Well, listen, right. So when will we see results of some of the next studies?
Well, so we're working on the cow's milk. We've got our first meeting and my student that's working on that, her name is Emily Foltz. She will be starting that this semester, this academic semester. Hopefully we will get some results by the end of the semester.
That's exciting. Very, very exciting. I think you're doing a great thing here. Very, very important discussion. I want to thank you very much. I actually screwed up. You were supposed to be on during the first hour. So thank you very much for being patient and waiting for us to get you during the second hour.
It's not a problem at all. I enjoy the conversation very much.
And I'll keep in touch. I'm going to send you some information, some people that maybe can help you with the whole raw cow's milk side of this equation. And I hope that you'll consider comparing that to the pasteurized milk as well.
Well, now, we definitely had that on the list. The thing that we did not have on our list was your grass versus grain.
So oh, please.
If there's any peer-reviewed publications on that and how it affects the bovine, just cows in general, or the bovine milk in particular, that would be great.
Well, the greatest changes are the fat. Cows that eat grass have an omega-3 to omega-6 ratio of 2-1 versus 1-26 when they
right
when
now
they
familiar
feed.
With the 3-6 ratio, but you mentioned something about the bacterial growth.
Well, no, okay. When cows were fed the corn and grain mash, because this was contrary to their natural diet, they developed inflammation, and as a result
right.
of that, they developed mastitis. Mm-hmm. And the mastitis, actually, it was according to the book, blood and pus ended up in the milk.
Yeah, now that sounds very suspicious, right there.
Yeah,
that is very, you know, based on what we know about how these things work, that could be a problem. So we definitely want to look into that possibility.
And keep in mind that only 20% of all the antibiotics manufactured by pharmaceutical companies make it into the human population. The other 80% are sold to, you know, those who are running factory farms. These cows are being given antibiotics, you know, subclinical doses in their feeds for a reason, because they're being fed corn and grain. They have to. I mean, my farmer doesn't use antibiotics except if a cow gets so sick that it's going to die.
Uh-huh. Last resort.
Yeah, that's the only time they use it. And you know, but factory farms that do factory dairy work, those cows are being fed antibiotics day in and day out, which is contributing on, you know, extrinsically to the problem, because we become our gut flora becomes disrupted by the presence of these low levels of antibiotics, which is a whole other show. But, you know, the feeding any animal a diet contrary to what it was designed to eat precipitates disease. In fact, they're having a problem at the Los Angeles County Zoo right now, that the lion has congestive heart failure. They have bears that have cancer. They have all these diseases. This was actually on, I can't take credit for breaking the story, it was on Good Morning America about a month ago. And they're going, you know, we're starting to think that it's the corn-based chow that we've been feeding these animals. Really? So in other words, you know, lions aren't supposed to eat corn? I didn't know that. I mean, I'd always thought if a lion found a field of corn, he would stop killing gazelles. I mean, come on. I mean, these animals aren't supposed to be eating this stuff. When you feed an animal a diet that's contrary to its genetic disposition, it gets sick. Look at humans. Look at us today.
Right, so, and I think all of our domestic dogs and cats also get diets that are not compatible with their biology.
Absolutely. In fact, we did a show a year ago with Dr. Peter Rouse begging people to start feeding their dogs and cats raw animal byproducts. Because if a dog is loose in the woods, anybody who's ever hunted and seen a wild dog, you know what he likes. He runs down a deer and he eats the hind quarters. That's it. So, you know, animals are supposed to eat raw. I mean, animal, that's what they're supposed to eat. And we have people in the audience that started feeding their animals that way and said that their dogs had illnesses that cleared up. One woman said that her dog had seizures, that when she got him off of the very, very popular corn-based dog chow, and started feeding the dog, like we told her, go to the butcher, buy the bones, buy the scrap meats and all that sort of stuff. Just feed the dog that. The whole problem went away. The dog didn't need any more seizure medication.
So the point then is that for our study, it's very likely that feeding the cows corn rather than grass has a profound effect on their immune system. And it really, we are, when you're talking about the milk interacting with the bacteria, we are looking at the immune system.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know what? I'm going to send you Dr. Ron Schmidt's, I'm going to get a copy of his book, and I'm going to get it sent to you. I'm going to get your address after the show, because I think that there's a couple chapters in there that speak about, very detailed about the swill milk epidemic and what they attributed the problem to.
Oh, and maybe I appreciate that'll elucidate. That very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Listen, thanks for being on the show today, Dr. Parker.
It's absolutely my pleasure.
Okay, take care. All right, so there you have it. Those of you out there who have young children, breast milk is the way to go. If you don't believe it, now you heard right from science. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks to Brooks Kubik. Hope that the women in the audience, the newcomers, get something out of the first hour of the show today. And, of course, tomorrow is Thursday, as I said. During the first hour, we will have the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy. And during the second hour, due to popular demand, Adele Musa will be joining me during the second hour as we do our roundtable discussion, our science in the news roundup. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Superhuman Radio.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.